Penny, Pimping.
Oh, can I hear you?
What?
Oh, there we go. I accidentally had it muted.
Well, everyone else heard me yell and pen at top volume. I also have Zero in here.
Oh.
We'll see how long that lasts for.
The dogs can join us for this happy occasion.
Cheers. I realized I picked It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, which sort of felt appropriate, actually.
That does feel appropriate. I have my Rose Apothecary mug of wine.
A good one. Oh, you didn't go whiskey. I thought you were gonna go whiskey.
Oh no, I don't want to drink whiskey by myself. That feels a little too intense.
Oh,
That's all
I should have done
right.
it. Whiskey for me does something like I think you're well, I think you're a better drinker than me, I will say, but we're very comparable.
Yeah.
But I think you're able to do other things. Like you can like do you're multitasking and drinking. Like I can't once I drink, then it's all the things are done.
Yeah. I can still, in fact, often function better.
There we go. Right. I just something in me like Stuart is like you because and again this might be the ADHD thing, but like he does better when there's a million things happening. And I
Yes.
think for me, I just have this like, I'm either on it or I am not on it. And if I'm not,
I need there to be so many things happening, and then I can focus. Which,
Zero, please don't eat my shoes. I mean, just don't. I like them. I don't have that many. Please.
mean,
Yeah, no, that's how Stuart is, because Stuart has like all these screens. You've seen his work
I
set
have.
up.
Here has so
And
many screens.
it stresses me out so bad all the time. And sometimes he'll be like, oh, you're not like when he's working from home, he's like, you know, this is pr I wouldn't know the what the heck is going on that computer if you asked me to write. It was like numbers, and I'm like, dude,
Gosh, that's so.
this is
Yeah.
why you get paid what you get paid. I don't know what's happening.
I don't. Yeah,
It's
I don't like it. I
it
will
looks like
say.
the
Like, what do
Matrix.
you listen to when you're writing? You
I
don't have
can't listen.
anything on?
Nope. I
It's just
wear
silence.
I'm in a coffee shop and it does help me to be outside the house, but I wear noise canceling earphones.
I would die. There, nothing would happen if it was just silence. Like, ever. I wrote a whole chapter only listening to Lemonade. And I was like, I'm gonna have to
Beyonce
credit
Lemonade.
Beyonce in my dissertation.
Yeah, I just can't. It's just not. I don't know it because well, because I listen to it and then I'm not
You actually
reading.
listen to it instead of it becoming like
Yeah,
the
and see,
buzzword.
Stuart said this too. He likes the music and I like the lyrics. So if I'm listening to lyric heavy stuff,
That's
and
the
I'm
thing
just
though. I feel like I, because people said that when I was younger, was like, you should listen to classical or something so there's no lyrics. Does not help. It doesn't make it any. I might as well have silence because I need the lyrics to be going on. I also work better in public. Like people need to be around, but not people I know, because then I'm just going to talk to you for hours. But like strangers are surrounding me.
Yeah.
I'm going
I
to be
agree with that
super
public thing.
productive and I'm going to be listening to Missy Elliott or a coworker today. Here's a question for you as a fellow white person.
Oh.
What are your thoughts about Jason Derulo?
The R&B singer?
Derulo.
I have honestly that ex that's the extent of my thoughts. Was the fact that I could categorize him, that's as far as it goes.
When do you,
I know nothing.
like,
I don't
when
even
do
know
you listen to Jason Derulo?
how. Clearly, I don't.
But
I
like,
don't.
if you were to, if it was on, where would you be?
Oh, just like art, like just general R&B man.
Like, you don't necessarily put it on, but it's on. Like, imagine Jason Derulo
Oh, a scenario where it would be
you.
playing.
Yeah.
probably like bars, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could imagine Billy Jack's that you've been to, like Billy Jack's playing it. Cranking up she was like, in the afternoon, maybe.
Right? She was like, white people go hard for Jason Derulo. And I was like, you know what? Here's the thing. I can get down to Jason Derulo. I'll own that.
I don't even know what he looks like. Is he African American?
He is, yeah.
Okay, I don't even know what he looks
like. Beyond that, I can't tell you what he looks like. He is...
There is like a cardboard cutout in my head of no defining characteristics of this human. So I guess the answer is, I don't know it if it's happening. It's not active. Do we go hard? Is it maybe a generational thing? Maybe?
We're the same generation, Leah. You and me.
Kristen, I'm not talking about you and I. I'm saying. Trust me, I went on the trips. You went on my trip. We know about how old we are. But I mean, like, the people who, quote, go hard, is it a generational thing? Or
no, because I feel like it's the kind of music. Like, when my friends started getting married, I feel like I associate it with wedding music. The region, somebody is going to put on Jason Derulo.
Can you tell me the most famous song?
I sure can. No, I can't. Okay. Hold on. Okay. Let's look it up. Let's find out.
I feel like I can tell you,
which is to sing his name. And that's how I know it's Jason Derulo.
Probably why you shouldn't listen to music when you write. Because you're like, I'm bringing it.
I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, because you're like, I bring it. And then I'm like, what does he look like? I don't know. What does he sing? I don't know.
I don't know. Oh, God. I don't know any of the titles of these songs.
Maybe we just weren't the key demographic here.
Like I said, I'm here for being at what is Jason Derulo's biggest hit? His biggest hit is a song called Talk Dirty. That doesn't help. I don't know.
What oh, no, like. I do know that one. Is that like, talk dirty to me?
Maybe.
In which case, I do know that song.
Look, I'm still here
for it. I don't even know if that's actually the right song.
You know what I'm going to do? This may drive everyone listening nuts, but I'm gonna try to
play that song. I think I did a really good rendition of it.
I'm sure you did.
Well, you were listening, so.
Okay.
You can tell you've been in a classroom. You're like, I'm sure you did.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't want to play too much or we'll get sued.
Oops.
I don't think Jason Derulo knows about our podcast. If you're listening to our podcast right now,
we're sorry.
I will go hard for you. I'm here for it. I'll be that girl. Unless you're
a terrible person, I will.
In which case,
she'll listen to you while she writes great books of literature.
I will. I'll listen to you while I write my next great American novel.
I switched up, switch foot, and skillet in the first episode, so you know, I can't promise you anything, Jason, but it'll be fun if you did. So. Welcome to Theology on the Rocks.
Yeah, welcome to Theology on the Rocks. Hi.
We did because Christy and I are currently, I will let you describe how you are, and I'll describe how I am, because I feel like generalizations aren't very helpful in situations like this.
That's probably true.
But we decided we would pick our own drinks, because we're going to be real freaking selfish today.
Yes, we are. Everything is... minimizing the pain today.
It is. I just heard a big crash, and the last time this happened, my bowl ended up on the ground.
Oh no.
And I was about to say screw you Beethoven when you were talking about the music, and then make a joke that's what I say like 800 times a day.
Do you need to go check on the big crash?
Yes. Why don't you describe how you're feeling
edit out a pause. We have that ability now.
Well, I know, but you can do that. I'll come. It'll take one. I know what he's doing. I know what he's doing.
You know, but you just want to make sure there's nothing horrible broken. Well, I'm going to play the rest of this song, and then we'll edit that out.
No, Christy. Jeez.
Oh, wait. I know this one, too. This is my favorite. Wait.
solo. I'm riding solo. I'm riding solo.
Okay. Listeners, look, I'm going to have to edit that section out, but coming back, just so you know, you missed me playing my favorite Jason Derulo song, which is Riding Solo. Look, if he's a bad person.
Okay, I'm back. I'm back. Let's
crash.
What, luckily, what? This time they were paper plates, which is, oh, but he's on top of the fridge. So Beethoven's figured out how to open cabinets. So we have child locks on most of the cabinets.
They do. I can't.
However, there's some he hasn't discovered yet. And then when he discovers them, we have to buy more.
Right.
It's really a cost saving activity.
So he discovered a new cabinet, is what you're saying? Yeah. Yes. Okay. Okay. Well, at least it was just paper plates this time.
Well, now we know. Now we know. Like, yeah. It took one bloody bowl to figure it out. Now we know.
How are you? I'm into my rage phase of this. I think rage is the best emotion for, or best description for how I'm feeling currently. There was a couple of days, like, honestly, Tuesday was a bad, bad day before. Like, there was a lot of completely unrelated to the election stuff that was happening on Tuesday. And it was that like pit in your stomach of like, this day is going very badly. And now I feel like it's just going to get worse, you know? And then Wednesday, it was just despair.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was despair for a couple of days. And then it was like a kind of numb feeling. And now we've entered to the rage. I don't know what the, like, you know how there's like five stages of grief.
Yeah.
I don't really know how the stages of election work. But I'm in the rage stage. How are you feeling?
Yeah. I don't think I've reflected very much on how I'm feeling, which is kind of par of the course. I think I've been listening a lot to how other people are feeling. And that's not like me being a martyr. It's actually a coping mechanism because I kind of like, I feel like other people are feeling things and then I don't have to feel it as a result, if right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And I did immediately. So this was Stuart's first time voting. And so we started the day. It was also his captain day, which is when you drink 1,000 beers at aforementioned Billy Jack's where Jason Derulo might be playing. Like, in the afternoon. I crank it up at the night time. In the afternoon. What do you have?
Zero okay. Has another shoe.
It's fine. Anyway, so I think we started there and it was really fun and jubilant and like, but I could feel, it was interesting because Stuart sort of said, you know, he was feeling quite positive about it. And I will say, you and I probably had very different feelings because of where we live. So Charlotte is a very, very blue city. It's a Democratic stronghold.
You were feeling like the optimism.
I didn't let it sink in because I don't do that. It was certainly, when I saw the number of people who were waiting to vote, I was like, okay, this is good. Like, this felt like a good sign. And then everyone I talked to, I was in a little bit of a bubble here in Charlotte. And Stuart voted. But I will say, when I went to the bar and we were just, I think the animals feel what we're feeling right now, actually.
The animals do feel what we're feeling.
Zero is doing his head to the German Shepherd dog right now. You know who that is? That's your cousin Penny. I know.
She's going to be dark in here.
That's your cousin Penny, but I've not met her before. No, I know. She's mad.
She's mad at nothing. She's mad at the wind. The wind hates.
Oh, did you hear that? He's doing like this, like the sideways.
Like, I hear a dog. No.
Did you just bury her in a blanket?
I covered her up in the blanket.
It's like a parrot. So she's a parrot.
He's the parrot.
Here's my guy.
Hey, you're okay.
Oh my God.
No.
Who Who would have thought you would have ended up being the good child, Zero?
Do you know what she's barking at? The wind blew. I have like a sign outside, like a hello sign. And yeah, the wind blew it and it hit the door. That's what she's barking
at. Well, you're a monster, so that's fine.
She's like, there was a noise.
I told you, you didn't hear this before. I was like, who would have thought that Zero would have been the good child out of the two? He's just sitting here like confused.
He's like, what is happening? Penny's throwing a thing at the wind. Anyway. Stuart voted for the first time.
And there was a feeling, but it was interesting because we voted and then we went to his captain day where we got to celebrate all things Stuart.
Yes.
There was a underlying feeling of not great. And I don't know what, maybe it's that sort of anticipation, but there was, because we'd done the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, we were waiting.
Yeah.
And then we went to my friend's house to watch the results. And when they called North Carolina, I grew up in Georgia. And so I was voting forever against red. Like that was just my whole life. Like nothing ever passed that I voted for except to be able to drink on like Sundays or something. that's where we draw the line.
Yeah.
So growing up in that world, I was used to being disappointed kind of constantly as a liberal leaning person. Right. North Carolina, right. I had hope because there was hope. And to be honest, the margin was not as big as some places, which was good.
Well, and you might split the ticket because you did Democrat governor and like other
attorney general, Jeff Jackson, attorney general. Yeah. And then our public schools. Yeah. So if he does what he says, which is taking it down to the states, and the Republicans lost the supermajority.
Right.
Which means
other than the presidency, North Carolina did pretty well.
It did, yeah, for the most part. I mean, we're sending a lot of people to Congress, but that's the rural, I mean, that's how democracy works. That's it. And I think, so I'll just be hiding under a rock under Josh Stein, who is our new governor. I'll just be hiding under his office for the next 4 years.
As much as you can, yeah.
Yeah, because it was a real shame, because the last go-round, we had Roy Cooper, and this was during COVID, and everyone really everyone being people on my side of the aisle liked Roy Cooper. But we had a Democrat flip to Republican after she had been elected. Right. So it gave the Republicans a supermajority, which means that the governor, at least in North Carolina, I don't know if this ever, can veto any legislation that comes through, which I foresee Josh Stein just being like, nope. Also, I think the first Jewish governor that we've had as well. But with the supermajority, the legislature in North Carolina can overturn the vetoes. So it's like a check on power.
Right.
So they lost the ability to do that.
Right.
So whatever comes from the state, he can essentially, now, of course, that doesn't really, it depends on how state forward Donald Trump really wants to be to what good that will do.
I mean, well, and it, you know, yeah, obviously there's already limitations to that, but.
Right.
It does help. Exactly. For sure. It does help to have.
So we did, yeah, down the ticket, and Charlotte remains blue as it was, as it will be probably. So the city's okay. The state is okay. The state of our nation is, I'm not so sure about.
Deeply, deeply not. Yeah, it was very different here for me. This is the first time I've ever voted in a red state because Colorado has been, if not almost blue, has been completely blue since I've been voting. And I've only ever voted in Colorado prior to this because obviously that's where I turned 18. And also when I was in Scotland, I was still voting in Colorado. So it's weird because for me, I knew Florida was going to go for Trump. Like that was, Florida was not a swing state to begin with. There were some people who were trying to say like, oh, you know, have a chance because DeSantis has handled things really badly in terms of the hurricanes. Yeah. And there's been some other stuff. He wanted to turn some of the national parks into golf courses, and that got bipartisan anger across the state. A lot of people were really mad about that, which is appropriate. Yeah. Yeah. And then also Florida had two really important things on the ballot, which were, well, one very important and one is usually a sign of things to come. But one was to legalize weed, which yeah. So, and I had been saying like, oh, this will be my second time voting for that. But it did not pass, which was, I think, surprising to me, but that might be my Colorado brain. Like, I don't know a lot of people who are still anti that being legalized.
Especially for like the money part.
It's so good for the economy. Colorado, it's been good for the economy, but it's also just like, I think practically a really smart decision because like Colorado could develop, like if you're driving under the influence, they have ways of much like a DUI, you know, so you're not just kind of like, oh no, you're on an illegal substance. What do we do? You know, it's, but also, I mean, it's just so stupid. To have it still be illegal. I think that's my personal opinion.
Yeah. Just logistically, even if you're conservative, with just, Delta variants and stuff, it doesn't really make sense anymore.
And to be honest, I don't do it. Weed is not good for me. So, this is not out of personal interest or anything. It just seemed
logical. She's a pothead, viewers. She's just trying to spread that gospel throughout
Colorado, and I can't, handle it. So, but it usually pulls people, like people want to vote for this. And so usually what you see with these kinds of ballots where there's something like that, and then also abortion was on the ballot. And we've seen that abortion has been for the most part winning in a lot of places. And it's also caused Democrats to have more victory. So I think that people thought maybe Florida had a chance because of these two things being on the ballot. They thought people would just kind of instinctively vote for Kamala. And what we found out is that that wasn't true, but also DeSantis raised the limit for it, those two things to pass, to 60%. It has to be a supermajority. And so neither of them passed. So abortion rights got 57 or 58% of the vote.
Oh my gosh, I don't think I realized that.
Yeah, so it sucks. Especially sucks because it's obviously not Democratic to do that, like to say that a vote has to have 60%, just kind of as because he doesn't want it to pass. Obviously the majority of Floridians wanted it to pass and it's not passed is upsetting, but also, and we saw this kind of across the nation, that people were voting Democrat for a lot of down ballot things and then apparently voting for Trump, which I think other people can have conversations about why that might have happened politically.
AOC brought that up. She said, you voted for me, but then you voted for him. Like, where is the...
Yeah.
And that happened, clearly, that happened in North Carolina as well. I mean,
it happened...
Or they just didn't vote for...
In a lot of places, a lot of... And even Democrats apparently decided to vote for him. So I think that brings up a lot of the rage also. Because it wasn't one of those situations where it was like people voted. We had record numbers of voters in a lot of places. It's just that they decided, I guess, differently than we were hoping for.
And I think that... When I was at my friend's house, as soon as they called North Carolina, I had a feeling. I was like, there's just certain points where I'm like, it just didn't feel, I was like, and then they called Georgia and they called them so quick.
It happened.
That I was so like,
quickly. Everything was happening so quickly that even by the time I took, I took a sleeping pill and went to bed.
Mm.
And not late, but at that point it was already pretty clear what was going to happen, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that was the thing too. I just left and Stuart was like, well, I want to watch. And I was like, I don't think you do, but you can. Yeah. And it is one of those things where, people talk a lot about, you know, your bubble and the propaganda that you were going to win. So I think I'm interested now. This is maybe just my research brain that's also disassociating, is that I really wanted to understand what was happening. And I think, like, that probably is a cover for me getting upset. And just, if I could, like, logically understand.
I mean, I think we're all trying to find a coping mechanism at this point. So.
Right. And that was mine. I think
it's productive.
Well, that being said, you talked to me, you checked in on me quite rightly, and I was disassociating. I just was like, I wouldn't read the news. I wouldn't watch anything. And I had people texting me that were kind of, I don't know a lot of conservative people except for people back home. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of, like, I don't want to say spiraling because that makes it seem flippant, but there was a lot of people who were really upset. And so I kind of, when people get really upset around me, I tend to try to go, I think I go chaplain mode.
Yeah.
Which is like a learned behavior. So I just was like listening to it all. And like, I think for my own, this is probably like some mental health, like depression thing. I can't let myself go down too far because if I spiral, I don't think I can get back up again.
Yeah.
So all of this, again, are these little safety blankets that I've wrapped. So I listen, and then now I've sort of opened up and accepted that this is happening. And I think that's the stages of grief. You accept,
yeah.
You know, and then you're like, okay, so what can we do?
Right.
But also, what does this say? Because, you know, about the U.S. as a whole. And I read a thing. I've been reading Atlantic articles, and they've been helping because it's like, you know, there was one article that was like, we did this to ourselves. This is what America actually wanted. And there was one that I read that said they want to burn it down. They don't like it. They don't, you know, people actually want. But it did say, but you'll miss it when it's gone.
Oh, absolutely. I saw a post today that was talking about, and I don't know how real this story is, so let's all take that with a grain of salt, but that there was a Catholic college, and student government had its elections one year, and there was a party that ran on the concept that student government doesn't do anything for us, like as a student body, and they won. And so the students who got put on student government put up hammocks in the student government office and donated all of the money that student government would have had into a different department. And then just didn't do anything that year. And then the next year, or so that school year that they were in the governance, there was no fall welcome. There was no freshman like orientation. There was all these things that people didn't realize that student government had been doing, and they didn't happen. And then they were like, where are these things? And other people had to be like, hey, you voted for the party that said student government doesn't do anything for us, so we won't do anything, and they're not doing anything, and now you're realizing all of the stuff that they did.
Yep.
And kind of learning the hard way. And it basically was like, this is potentially what's going to happen for a lot of people, is the aspects of, because I think that you have probably also heard this, but I'm seeing some of the women who voted for Trump arguing with the women who are distraught right now and saying, I don't understand why you're so scared. We're not going to lose any rights. It's going to be fine. And that's because they think, like one woman said, I'm too old. I don't need an abortion. My daughter's not going to get an abortion. I don't know how she knows that, but, or is why she's assuming that, but like, this isn't going to affect me at all if abortion rights go away, so I don't care about it. And I think it's because people don't actually know what abortion rights are protecting. Like, all of the miscarriages that are happening and the women who are dying from those miscarriages is not because some woman just wants to have sex and not have pregnancies. It's because abortion.
But also abortion's already been
much larger.
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't know why even that woman in 2024 would be talking about that in this.
Her state still has abortion rights. So she's thinking that this isn't going to be. And that's to what you said. How much of what we believe about what he's saying is real? Is it Project 2025 where abortion's going to get outlawed federally? Or is he really going to let it stay with the states? You know, like, we don't know.
And I want to say there, I didn't mean that it doesn't matter. I meant more that it matters very much. But I mean, it's been decided at the Supreme Court in a very, you know, during his term. So I don't know what else he says. He doesn't. I mean, the only other thing, his big thing was the states. Well, the only other thing is a national ban, which
he said
he wasn't going to do. But, you know, that's worth the shit in a bucket.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're getting conflicting promises from his side, some saying it's going to be outlawed and some saying it's not. And that's part of the problem, I think, too, is that we don't know what's coming because it could be the extreme stuff that Project 2025 is saying, which is terrifying. Or it could be a slightly lesser version of that, or it could be that he's just going to kind of not be able to do anything and we'll have
he just got
2016 to 2020 again, you know, which is not like that was a good time, but
he didn't have Congress for part of that. That's something I'm a little concerned about now.
Yeah, the trifecta. I mean, not only Congress but the Supreme Court. I mean, he has everything. So how much scary is coming? And I think that's part of what I'm like, the people who are flipping about, I don't think any rights are going to be lost. And then also the people who are accelerationists and are like, let's burn it all down. I don't think they understand what those things actually mean. Because they haven't had to face this in reality, you know?
Right. It's not going to stop people getting abortions. It's not going to stop people from being gay. It's not going to stop people from reading books. I mean, we've read enough dystopian fiction to know that this isn't going to stop people from doing these things. They've been doing these things for as long as civilization has existed. It's going to make it harder and more dangerous and perhaps illegal to do certain things that are deeply, deeply concerning.
Right. I mean, people are on the
side of the Republicans, I don't understand what they think is going to, if we burn it all down or we take away rights, what's actually going to happen? Like, do they think that that's going to make people...
Apparently, it's going to make the price of eggs go down. I mean, it's nonsense. Okay. It's not logical.
Like women's eggs or eggs?
Eggs. The joke, right, is that all these people are voting for Trump because they think their eggs are too expensive at the grocery store. And it's like, I don't think that that's how simplistic it is. But I do think that there is a lot of ignorance, and I'm not trying to be flippant about the ignorance either. I don't think it's necessarily people's fault that they're ignorant about these things. I think that it has a lot to do with, and this is a soapbox you and I have been on before, but education reform is essential because people don't know how to research. People don't know how to read for comprehension. People don't know how to spot false information or AI, or understand that AI is not actually like a trustworthy source. I had a student who used Google AI as a citation in a paper. Like, there's a belief that these kind of simplistic, like, here's what a really basic dictionary definition of a thing is giving enough information for us to make judgments about it, and it's not.
Right.
And so then people think, I'll vote because tariffs, he's going to make China pay for stuff. He's not. He's going to make you pay for stuff. Tariffs make the increase for us, not for them, you know?
I sat at a bar with an economist who said that they're actually not. He does international trade, like the big ships with the things on them.
Yeah.
It's like his thing. And he was like, yeah, that's not going to go the way people think it's going to go.
It's not. Yeah. I mean, it's going to go exactly the opposite of what people think.
Yeah.
But, and this is the problem. We haven't taught, that's not true. I don't want to put this on the teachers. Teachers are doing their level best, but like,
yep.
We haven't prioritized how to learn and how to research and how to understand complex ideas when we're just saying, hey, rote memorization is the way to go. Just teach to the test is a terrible way of doing education. And we're reaping the benefits of that at this point because we have 54% of the American populace has a sixth grade reading level. I mean,
wow.
And that's not to say that those people are inherently ignorant. It's to say that they haven't been taught necessary skills because we prioritized the wrong things in education. And now we're suffering.
And I think on the flip side, the Democrats did it badly. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I don't think they ran this campaign the way they should have. I would criticize that.
What do
you
think they should have done differently?
I think some of it's unavoidable. The switcheroo with Joe Biden, I think, instilled a lot of I want to preface this by saying, I think some of this is also based on chatting to a couple people who I've told you about, who should, for their very essence, be voting for Kamala if it didn't. I think that instilled just enough doubt in people. I also think there's, in terms of like the voting process, systemic racism and misogyny exists.
I was going to say, I mean, we have to address the very large elephant in the room that America is not going to vote for a Black woman.
Right. But I think I'm of two minds, and I mean this genuinely, I'm of two minds here because I think, oh, like she's qualified, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter if she did switcheroo, it's for the best, blah, blah. And then I think, and also she's vice president, that's what she does. But then I also think, should the Democratic Party have known this would go the way that it did? But on the flip side, okay, we should be moving past this. You know, there's like my idealistic and then my growing up in Georgia brand,
mm-hmm.
which is like at conflict with each other yeah. because I'm like, how did they not see that and know that that was going to happen? But also are we doing?
I think, I heard
a Black woman as president.
I heard, Tressie McMillan, professor, and now I'm blanking on all of the important information about her, but she's fantastic. She has an Instagram that I follow, and she did say specifically that she thinks that a lot of what's going on, and this kind of encompasses both what you're talking about and what I'm talking about, is that Trump sold a really good story. I'm going to make life better for you. He didn't have to tell us how. He didn't have to tell us the specifics. He didn't have any policies. He had concepts of a plan. You know, like, there was no substance behind what he was saying, but he was saying something that's really appealing. I'm going to make your life better. I'm going to stop the enemy, whatever that enemy is. Let's be really vague about it. You know, I'm going to stop the enemy so that people could buy into this. Oh, it's going to make things better. Things are hard right now. And that's true. Things are hard right now for most Americans.
Mm-hmm.
The middle class mm-hmm. is being wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
Wealth is increasingly being hoarded by the top 1%. Like, that is just all accurate. And he was saying, I'm going to make it better for you. Whereas she was saying, here are my policies, but that's harder to grasp. You know, you have to dig into it. And
I mean, even the slogan, we're not going back. It's like a lot of people want to not go back, but they would go back to the Trump era in terms of finances.
Or which isn't Trump, that's Obama. You know, like,
oh, for again, sure. I'm not saying that.
I know that. But
yeah.
But like, we don't understand enough.
Yeah.
Like, we as and I'll own some of this. I don't know a lot of policy stuff. I just assume that people who are smarter than me about policy and politics and international policy and all those kinds of things should be in charge, right? And if they mm-hmm. say, here are my qualifications and here's like a general sense of what I'm going to do, I don't really care to understand all of it. Maybe I need to understand more of those things. But there are a lot of people who don't trust qualifications anymore because we've taken those away. We've said a lot of like the elite, you know, aren't here for you.
Well, I think they think the elite is a different cat. Like, I think of the elite as like monetarily elite. And yeah, I think the average American person, I think, sees the elite as being intellectually elite and and like snobby.
Yes.
The deplorables comment forever will not
be. Well, I think you and I would fit into that elite. They would say like, oh, you're intellectuals. Whereas you and I are both like, hey, we are also poor, you know, like.
I don't want him to eat one of my four shoes that I have. I'm not poor by any means, and I don't want to claim that, but we're not like rolling in it.
I mean, you know, we're not sitting around not worried about money. We're worried about money. We're worried 100%. About prices for stuff.
100%.
But the fact is that we haven't retained an ability to understand more complex policy, which is what she was presenting. And he was presenting this really appealing lie. I'm going to make your life better, right?
So I think we overestimated the American people.
We overestimated the American populace. And like I said before, I think too, and I thought this when they switched it, that first week when they switched from Biden to Kamala, I thought this is the end. We're going to lose because she's a woman. And no, Penny, no.
Oh no.
Sorry, the sign hit the window again.
Oh no. Pen, get on it.
No.
Detective Penny.
She's not only a woman, but she's a black woman. And like the racism and the misogyny in this country are so strong. And they're not to the people that we think that they're isolated to. There are plenty of liberals who are as racist and misogynist as the stereotypical Trump voter. Yeah. And you and I
for sure
that constantly. And so I think that we're more aware of it, but I think that there was an estimation that people could finally get behind qualification and ignore who she is. And that's just not.
No, it's not. And you could see the people in North Carolina, for example, who voted for Josh Stein, a Democrat, for governor, who ultimately will run our state, versus who voted for Trump. Those numbers don't line up.
No.
Like, I mean, if the people who voted for Josh Stein vote, then it would have been Kamala Harris who won. Like, it's not. Yeah, they were voting down ticket a different way than they were voting for president, which to me says they didn't like. I don't think they're obsessed with him because they're voting Democrat.
They didn't like her.
Yeah, they didn't like her. That's right. And we did that. I mean, hello. I mean, well, I'll speak for myself. I did that in 2020. Like, it wasn't like Joe Biden was lighting my fire or anything.
Oh, God, no. I was not thrilled with. I wanted it to be Elizabeth Warren. I'll just say I like
Warren. I voted for her in the primary too.
I did too. I think though that my disillusionment with America's ability to get past their sexism was really broken with her. I think that's when it really hit me. And like I said, that first week that it was Kamala, I was still living in that. And then I let myself get hopeful because there was so much hope around the campaign and she had so much seeming support, you know? Yeah. But I do think at the end of the day, it's still the same thing that happened with Hillary and with Elizabeth Warren and now with Kamala, is that people want to say that they're going to vote for a woman, but they won't actually. There's always going to be a problem, right? And it was with Hillary, it was easy because she had baggage. And so we could say, like, it's not that it's a woman, it's that it's Hillary Clinton. Like,
right.
She has the emails and she has Benghazi and all these things, and we can blame it on those things. But Elizabeth Warren's baggage was minor.
It was. Comparatively,
but also within the Democratic Party, Elizabeth Warren was infinitely a better choice than Joe Biden would have been qualifications wise. Like, she's got quite a lot of success as a senator, and she had, I mean, Elizabeth Warren had a plan for literally everything. That's, you know, but she made a mistake.
One of those things. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say she made a mistake, and admittedly, yeah, it was a problematic thing to say. To claim
native to affect other candidates when they say problematic things.
To say that is going to absolutely decimate who and if you remember when it was Hillary, people said I want to vote for a woman, but I won't vote for Hillary, but I would have voted for Elizabeth Warren. It should have been Elizabeth Warren. They called her out specifically in 2016, and then they didn't vote for her in 2020. And I knew then, I was like, that's it. It's just, I'll vote for a woman, but not that woman. And it's just always right. going to repeat itself until America can have a real, and again, not the America you think, but the actual, like the men and the women who are out there campaigning for liberal stuff are still inherently dealing with sexism yeah. and racism.
Yeah. There was someone quite close to me that I talked to that I would say is a firm moderate. And they were saying, I'm not going to vote for her because I don't like her. And I'm like, what do you not like? And yeah. they were like, oh, well, she just doesn't, she contradicts herself. And I'm like, okay. I said, what else? She was like, well, she giggles too much. And yeah. I just told that person, I was like, the contradiction is fine. That's a fair statement. And people don't like that in politicians. However, we are not holding this standard to the other candidate at all. And also the giggling too much. That's just sexism. Like
that's just sexism. Yeah. It's, I mean, it's inherently sexism. I have never, ever in my life heard a man say that another man giggles. I have never heard men as being described as giggling.
Part of my deep dive too is to look into the stats of the voters. I haven't looked at it since I talked to you, so I don't know if it's been updated, but just to see the level of like how intense, I think it was something like 92% of African-American women voted for.
It was 92 or 93%.
My gosh.
I know.
Like, and then just to see, honestly, the Latinx vote really surprised me, and I wanted to check myself. So I did chat with this. It's going to sound like I have a
Black friend,
but I do. She's in my book group, yeah. and we talk a lot, or we talk on text. Not me and her, but the text chat is alive and Riley as a yeah. book group chat text. And so I kind of brought it up, and I said, you know, I said, what's your opinion on this? And she actually wasn't surprised at all. She kind of gave me some insights that I thought were really interesting, and was talking about, you know, Cubans not voting Democrat since, not as a monolith, of course, but in general, since the Bay of Pigs. And I was like, wow, okay. Like that's, you know, and so, you know, it was one of those things where I just looked down and I'm like, and he's already talking about all this deportation stuff. And again, not to put that entire group in the deportation place, but like, you know, if we're looking at who's going to get deported, it's probably not going to be Stewart.
It's not Stewart. I mean, no.
Like, so it's an interesting thing of how we, as a collective, vote against our own interests, whether that be a economic thing or, you know, he's already going to do tax cuts for these like people. What I mean, it's not going to help.
None of it's going to help. Yeah. I mean, honestly, because I mean, white women didn't do well either. And I had dinner with my coworker who's a Black woman, and we had a little bit of a chat about this as well. And I said, you know, I think that white women have enough protection from the patriarchy that we don't always recognize that the patriarchy still exists. And we are closer to power, and so we have abilities to utilize it. I mean, there's a reason that people talk about white woman tears. I know that I can get out of a speeding ticket if I cry for, you know, like there's a whole, I mean, not necessarily, but
I wish that I could cry on demand. My acting career never took off.
This is not a skill I have. Also, my most horrible aspect of my emotional range is, you know how Kristen Bell, when she was talking about the sloth, was like, if she has any extreme emotions, she starts crying, whether she's happy or sad.
Yeah.
Mine is that I start laughing hysterically. So if I'm like really sad, I will start laughing. It's very uncomfortable for everyone. I was laughing at my grandfather's funeral. It's not appropriate.
I get quiet. Stuart says if I ever get quiet, like, but like properly quiet, like despondently quiet, then that's like, it's bad. Like it's if I'm not even being like Southern polite or like,
you're just like,
so Christy see me in the mornings. And if it starts to look like that, then that's how you know things are bad.
But I think that we deceive ourselves. And this is where I think, you know, a lot of us, especially a lot of us in the liberal to the leftist camp, really need to have a come to Jesus with our own selves, because we can't keep blaming this on Republicans. We can't keep saying, you know, it's just because of those conservative people, because Democrats voted for Trump. And we have to have a real reckoning, because I don't think, and this is not something that will ever be proven, because there's no way to research this, but I don't think that they voted for Trump just because they think that eggs are too expensive.
No.
I really do, in my heart of hearts, believe that a whole bunch of liberal and left people looked at that ticket and said, I don't want a Black woman president. Yep. Whether they said that consciously or subconsciously, I think that happened. And we all have to kind of reckon with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I put up a thing that was like, it was a meme or a TikTok of a Black woman putting her earphones on, and she was like, all right, hope it works out.
I know. I want to say this sincerely. I told my coworker this as well. Like, Black people, you can have a rest. You do not need to fight this one. Like,
you have done
everything in your power, and this is on us, and this is a reckoning we have to do. But like, especially Black women, like, just go get a mani-pedi, go to the spa,
put those headsets on,
drink the Starbucks. I saw a lot of like TikToks about Black people being like, it was like a white person being like, now we gotta boycott Starbucks, and they were like just drinking their Starbucks, like, we're done fighting your fights for you.
Yeah. And I think that's absolutely fair.
It is absolutely fair. We can't keep relying on them to save us.
Well, and I think that's, you asked about what I think Democrats did wrong, is that they rely on these bases that they don't invest in, and that they don't fulfill promises for. And it's like, you know, part of the thing that I did like about Joe Biden, again, as a very privileged, educated white woman, is that he was going to do stuff about student loans. You know what he didn't do?
Absolutely.
Stuff about student loans. So it's like,
to be fair, he couldn't. I mean, it keeps getting lawsuits.
He couldn't. It kept getting pushed back, and he tried. And I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. But if you want these politicians to work for you, which is what they should be doing, no matter what piece of the world you live in, you got to know that, like, you got to hold them to what they said they were running on. And so, like, I think with Donald Trump, it's like, what are you running on? I mean, I always go back to that Newsweek or Newsbreak or whatever that show is, where that he's doing that speech about America not being great anymore. And he's like, if liberals are so GD smart, why do they lose so GD often?
I also think that the reason we lose so often is because we can't. And I think this, again, I think there's an issue with the ability to think about complex issues.
Uh-huh.
I think that a lot of, and this one I think is especially true of leftists, of which I consider myself. This is partly something I've also been dealing with in the past few days. We hold people to a kind of level of perfection, and we get really honed in on specific issues that we think, like, this is disqualifying. Mm-hmm. We can't listen to your music. We can't vote for you. We can't this and that, because you did this thing that we think is terrible. And instead of making a kind of coalition like the Republicans have, they are on board with a felon, because that's the thing that's going to win them elections. They all decided to get on board with that, and we can't get on board with anything. you know, there's there's a lot of discussion about like people voting against Kamala because of Gaza, and I have my own personal thoughts about that, but like I do think that I've heard from some of the Palestinian representatives here in the States, like, please don't do that. That's not going to help Gaza at all. But we get so hyper focused on this one cause, and then we kick people out of the group immediately. And so if you don't live up to the standards and you're out, where are you going to go? Well, you're going to go to the people who don't care.
Right. That's what they did. I mean, I think it was super effective. I mean, Elon Musk, I think, put up something on X, which I'm officially going to get off of now, unfortunately.
You know what? I haven't been on there for a couple of years, but I realized the other day I never deleted my account. So I have to delete my password because I haven't been on in 2 years. So I don't know my password, but I have to figure that out. And then I have to delete
it. It's saved somewhere. Stuart's going to hate me for this. But anyway, but he said something that he would like fund a campaign. And again, this just popped up on my phone, so please do search it out on your own. But that he would fund, if anyone voted against Trump stuff in Congress, that he would fund like the campaign against whoever that person was, if they were in the Republican Party. And it's like, this isn't democracy anymore, if that's what that is. Like, that's not, what I accept is that Congress is theirs. I accept that Donald Trump is president. Yeah. That's what happened. That was the vote of the people. The Supreme Court, I accept all except for the one that was supposed to be put in during Obama's term. I think that was Gorsuch that they got in. But other than that,
it was Kavanaugh that was.
No, he was in Trump's term.
I know, but he was supposed to be replaced. That one was supposed to be replaced.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kavanaugh was replaced. And I'm with you. They picked,
I accept all of the Supreme Court except for that. Now, by saying accept, that's my brain. That's not like what I feel.
Right.
This is what we're going to have to live with. And that's the thing, is that we set up a system, and if, as long as they don't burn down the system that was established, then we have to accept that democracy happened. And it's exactly what you said, that is, if this is what democracy is, then we have to figure out, we can't all just run away to another country. Like,
no,
that's not, if we truly want to make this place better, we have to, because the thought came into my head, I have a Scottish husband, where do you think I want to run to? Like, we have to try to make it better, but it's figuring out what we can do that will actually make things better. Like, not just like post on social media and think that things are going to change. Yeah. Like, that's just making you feel better. That's not changing anyone's mind. Like, what are we actually going to do? And that's where I'm at, actually.
I think that's an important thing. And, you know, we talked a little bit about this at Theology Beer Camp during my session with Catherine Keller and Ilya Delio, as like, if we're all wounded, what do we do with that? And Ilya Delio said, you do what you can do in your sphere. Like, you have a limited scope, and you can only do so much. You can't become a superhero and go out and, you know, save the day, but you can talk to people and you can affect good in the sphere that you're in. And so we all have to start making those actions. I think make good trouble where you are. Don't obey in advance, you know, like, we can't just give them, they have a lot of power, but we can't give them more than they already have, you know, like, and again, I don't mean to sound like a Elizabeth Warren stan, because I don't think it's appropriate to stan anyone, least of all politicians, but she's been posting about, she's ready to file lawsuits against Trump already because he's already doing illegal things as he's preparing to become president. You know, like, there's already stuff that she's ready to fight. And so we have to start preparing those things now and saying, we're not going to just hand the country over to you. But also we have to start thinking about, okay, like, what have I done to ostracize people? What have I done to push people out of feeling like they can have conversations with me? Or, you know, and certainly I've done a lot of that. I've cut off people that maybe I should have kept talking to, or
maybe we just start thinking like them, you know?
Yeah, like, especially the two of us, you know, we're not in a position where we're going to lose a ton of, we're going to lose things, certainly, but you and I have more privilege, so we have more room where we can talk to people, talk to our Republican neighbors or to our friends who voted for him this time and say, like, what has gone on? I decided I'm restructuring my classes to help teach my students better, like, reading comprehension. Just how do we read to understand what's going on? How do we understand these complex ideas, that kind of stuff? Because ultimately, we're not going to change anything. Like, this is what it is, at least for the time being. But we can...
No. I think, yeah, and I think there was another article that was talking about neededness. It was about specifically white men, and it wasn't neediness, it was neededness, which I thought was a really interesting play. And it was this idea that a lot of the white males who had voted for Trump were talking about this fact that they felt that they were they lived with their parents longer. They weren't making as much money. Women didn't necessarily need them for things. And I think for me, when I read it, when I initially read it, I was like, well, welcome to our world. Like,
yeah,
you know, but then I thought, okay, no, what can I do to actually try to understand this? Like, you know, it must, I'm going to say this in deep, deep air quotes. It must be very hard to have been at the heart and the soul of a country and making and doing all the best things. And then that not being the case because other people had to fight so much harder. And so we got instilled in us the fight, and you got instilled in you the coast. And I, of course, I'm not talking about everyone, but just some people.
Yeah.
And then now you're sad about it. And I get your sadness, but your sadness is something that we all, that other people to varying degrees have had a feeling for a long time. Yeah.
I think it's important to keep in mind. Yeah. Like, we do have to figure out, I can't express how much I don't care to make, especially the younger white men who are rapidly becoming incels and radicalized, which is really, really concerning, right? It's not about making them feel better about themselves, but instead it's making sure that we are reaching out to them and teaching them better. It's about reaching out to them and helping them to be unradicalized. They're not going to suddenly just switch into a different brain, you know?
Right.
And telling them repeatedly, well, now we hate you even more, is certainly not going to help the situation.
No, it's not.
You know?
It's not. And that's, I think that, but yeah, I think you're right about, and of course you and I go to education first because that's who we are. But I do think it's one of those things where when you show people, like, and I'm worried that this is going to get stricter about how we show stuff, but it's like, we have to show, like, you've been at the front, we've talked about this before, you've been at the front of the line for a really long time, and we don't, you know, I was born of a white man, well, born of a white woman, but he participated.
Yeah.
And I'm married to one. Like, it's not that we don't, it's just that,
yeah,
don't associate dislike with trying to get reflection. Those are not the same things.
Reflecting and holding people accountable to you. Right. And again, I think we have to, I think there has to be a lot of focus on white men for this, because that is the dominant group that needs to be addressed. But this also has to come to white women, as well.
Yes. Because,
and like we talked about before, and we've talked about this several times, like white women are not always good at recognizing how fragile our situation is, you know?
Right.
But yeah, it's not going to be because we keep yelling at them. It's just not. And it's not going to be because we can just stop that misinformation or that radicalization from hitting them, because it's going to keep coming. So how do we set them up to be better able to recognize what's going on, or to allow them to have that reflection to see why they feel like women giggle, you know? Why did we say that Kamala was she was laughing? Like,
she giggled weird. Well, guess what? I put a lot of exclamation marks and things so people don't think that I'm being aggressive.
Oh my gosh, same. Oh, the exclamation marks are a thing. Also, I have different voices. If you hear me talk to certain people, this is not the voice I talk with. Because we know we have to sound certain ways and behave certain ways. And we know that. But
I think it's been maybe a sort of, what do you call it? Exposure therapy to them in the last bit. And also to white women, I would argue as well.
Yeah.
And of what other people go through. And I think people got uncomfortable and I think they didn't like it. And they voted to go back.
Guilt can backfire. Guilting people can backfire sometimes. Yep. And I do think I think there needs to be, York talked about this at Theology Beer Camp. And I know that we want to talk about this more with Taylor, Thomas, the idea that we don't always distinguish between how white privilege is affected differently, you know, that Appalachia has a different set of white experience than some of our urban settings. And so when we are constantly telling people in the more rural areas, especially in the South, that they have white privilege and they don't have any concept of what that means. And they do, absolutely. And I still think that we need to understand that, but we're not.
They work so hard and they make so little. And
yeah, I mean, we're not explaining it and they don't experience it the ways that they think that privilege should be experienced. And
that's right. Yeah,
and so we're
losing. They admire the people that are ahead of them, as opposed to wanting to burn them down.
Yeah, I think what I guess my ultimate takeaway is that while I still believe in the principles that I've always believed in, I am more reflective of how we go about communicating those things, and that we're generally doing a bad job.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we have to hold a big old mirror up to ourselves and say, this is not about the orange man. Like, he was just someone who spoke to and probably had people telling him what to say. Like, I don't think there's a lot that's happening there.
Fair, he didn't say a whole lot of substantive things. So
no, and that might work. You know, that may be, that's it. You know, so because people want like a easy message to consume. Like, that's kind of the thing. So I think that that's true. And I think, yeah, we have to say, how are we? And here's my hopeful message, which I do believe is, if we truly want this country to continue, I don't think it's going to explode in flames. I think it could look very different.
Yes.
But if we want it to continue as it has for a while, then we have to stand up to these things. Yes. And if the American people decide that they don't want to do that, then that's the direction you want to go, the majority, I should say. Then you live here, you don't. I mean, that's that's privilege in itself, because some people will be stuck here and don't have that option to just fly to Scotland and live or whatever. But, like, you know, I don't know what other options there are at this stage. Like, it's not acceptance.
I think it's for me, I think, like what you said, we have to acknowledge the ways that we can fight against the bad things, right? We know bad things are coming. We know this. This is bad things happened when he was president the first time. Mm-hmm. Bad things are going to happen again this time. We are capable of fighting against these things. We are also capable of standing up for our neighbors. Like you said, not everybody can just leave. And sure. There have to be people who stay and fight for them. Mm-hmm. But also I think generally the message and the progress is good, and it's something that people would get on board with if we can become people who are lovingly communicating that message.
Yes. You know, which brings us back to theology.
It does.
I mean, the thing that I just kept repeating to Stuart ad nauseum, it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man into heaven. And I just kept telling it. And he goes, well, they're not getting that. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. That's fair. It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. And, you know, this seemed to be very much about that's and yeah. what they can do and how they can progress. And I'm like, you know, if we really want to follow these words that Jesus said, and a lot of people are like, oh, like, you know, I think we have to start picking our words better and how we put things in the world. Like, not everyone's going to understand, you know, I saw something that was like, we worship a displaced immigrant who had brown skin, or, you know, which right. I'm not saying that's not true. It is, but we may need to look at the stuff that they voted for and say, okay, let's talk in those words now. You know,
yeah. I think, like, that's
what did Jesus say about economics? You know, that kind of stuff.
I think that's a big part of it. I think really highlighting the myriad of ways that Jesus would have been against most of the policies that the people are for, right? Because we think, and I told my students this today too, every time that religion gets tangled up in government, things go badly, right? Mm-hmm. And particularly for the religion. So we need to start demonstrating more Christian values on the left. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, highlighting that's a good way to put it. Christy, I think that's a good way to put it, though. Yeah.
Like, and I think there are a lot of people who are doing that work, and we just have to keep continuing to do that work because it's important work to do. I'm not saying that all of us have just failed and we need to start from scratch, but I think that we need to keep in mind the ways that we're doing it. And also, I mean, just again, to be, Penny has fallen asleep and is barking in her sleep, just FYI.
That's fair. Zero's at my feet right now. She's a better kid.
She's barking in her sleep. We need to be better at recognizing our own faults too. And I think, again, progressives tend to think like, oh, look at how good we are. Look at how amazing, like, we're farther, but like, we're okay. Still bad at stuff. And I still get judgmental, and I still have to fight the like ingrained racism that happens in my brain, you know? There's still times when I think, oh God, that was not the right thought to have about that person, you know?
We all have, and to acknowledge that we all have that, I think is, but I think talking in the language, I think that's what has driven me to read these articles about who voted for, because I want to understand it so that I can talk to it. Because I think as teachers, that's what we do. Yeah. We're like, how do I fix the problem?
I also think too that highlighting voices that can teach us more, because like the more we learn about people's experiences in every situation, like you said, we need to understand why people voted for him, so we need to listen to what they're saying. We also need to understand what the Black women are saying and have been saying for ages. Actually platforming as many Black women as we can, because like none of them are surprised, you know.
Yeah, and that just shows, doesn't it show so much, and doesn't it make you, it makes me feel very, like, guilty, because they're not surprised. And we are, you know.
Like, I know. Like, they're, it's crushing. And it's crushing to see how disappointed, it's like, I mean, you know how Stuart looks at us when he's not mad, but he's disappointed.
Yes, I do. I've seen it.
I keep getting that face, like, disappointed in us, and they should be.
They should be. Yeah. And honestly, like, yeah, I just, when you said that, that they're not surprised, that hit my gut.
It's,
right, it's like, wow.
It just writes, it's right there, right in the gut. Mm-hmm. And it feels, and you know what, we should feel,
we're probably so used to disappointment too, and we're just like, oh, I'm disappointed.
Yeah, like, it's just so, it's heavy. So
it is. Well, we're at the time, I think. If you have any final thoughts, you, maybe we're still going there.
No, my final thought, I mean, like, we've been kind of wrapping up our final thoughts, but I feel like, as, I guess this is my dedication of, like, here's what I want to do, is to keep having these conversations, to keep trying to reach out, and to keep providing the education. Like, you and I have been trained. We have a lot of knowledge and education, so we need to put that out into the world, and that's what I want to keep doing as much as possible in whatever ways I'm able to do that.
For sure.
And just, yeah, be in the resistance of it all.
And friends, here, my final thought is, if you're feeling low and you're feeling sad and you're feeling disappointed, reach out, or, you know, find your people that make you feel better. If you're scared, that is understandable.
Yeah.
If you're very worried about your rights, it's understandable. My good friend, well, I won't say good friend because I've not seen her for a long time, but my fellow seminarian, I put up a thing, I don't think she would mind. Julie Arbor, who's in St. Pete, actually, and has put up some public stuff. She does her own publishing house for queer voices, has a family, and with young kids. And she has said, you know, if anyone wants to get married, come on, let's do it. Now's the time, especially if you're in that community. And so I want to open that up to our listeners and say, if there's anything that, you know, it's maybe a bit like, oh, we're giving up because we're accepting that this might get challenged. I wouldn't see it as that. Just see it as, like, we're going to do what we can in the time that we have.
I mean, like, I think that the most important thing I've seen out there is, don't obey in advance.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Yeah,
don't assume that things are going to get taken away and so feel despondent about them in advance. You know, yeah.
It's like the fear of anticipation.
Don't give them more ground that they've already taken. Yeah.
I agree. And if you, again, all of my geeky friends out there, there was a thing that caused me, it was the only thing that made me emote, like, actively. and it was the scene with all you Tolkien heads out there, Frodo and Gandalf. And he was like, this is a botched version, but he says, I wish this had never come to me.
Yeah.
Talking about the ring. I wish this hadn't happened. That's Frodo. And then Gandalf says, so do all who live through times such as these, but it is not for us to decide. It is, you know, it is for us to do what we can do in the time that we have, essentially.
Yeah. And which is also a call to Esther. And
there you go.
You know, you live in the time that you're living in, and you have to do the work that you're capable of doing in that. So let's be the Frodos and the Esters. And
I've decided on my first, I'm getting my first tattoo, because that was the thing. Yeah. It's going to be either the Esther quote or that quote. And I'm going to get it.
I am deeply upset that I cannot be there to watch this happen.
Who says that you can't?
Let's do it together.
Let's do it together. Let's do it together. I'm going to get it on my back right here.
Oh, I love that. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So So I'll make sure Christy is there for that. But yeah, you know, we didn't ask for this time. We weren't, my little 80s child was not simmering in the belly watching E.T. thinking this is going to be how it worked out. But
was it,
you know, we got to do it.
Mickey Blue Eyes, so that I thought that I would try.
Lord. Christy, I just found out, like, Christy and I are very close friends and we talk a lot, but there are still some things that we don't know about each other. Like, Christy has an undying affection for Hugh Grant, which
I love Hugh Grant.
I did not know.
I love Hugh Grant very much, and I love Mickey Blue Eyes.
And I've not seen it, and if I did, I saw it a long time ago.
Okay, you're going to watch it. Watch it together.
Okay, well, we can watch that and get the tattoos then. How about that?
Like you said, if there's anybody out there who needs a chat or anything, we're here for you. We are.
And we're not, like I said, we're still mulling through it. And I think that's what I feel like this was like our little therapy session, but hopefully it was like a therapy session for
I
you.
I do feel too. Less ragey.
I think it's
less likely to explode. So that's nice.
I think it's helpful to, and that's kind of what we're saying, is chat to people who are your friends with, who you trust, and like also just know that we're also working through it and trying to figure it out, and we don't necessarily, you know, this is not our dissertation on the selection. It's just us kind of working through it with you, but also letting you know that we're here and we feel you. And hey, if you're if you voted for Trump and you're into it, I will say this, and I keep saying this, I hope it works out.
Like, I hope it works out so badly. I honestly I've never wanted to be wrong more than I am
100%
wrong right now.
100%.
It's not a competition. We're not hoping for y'all to lose, because we lose with you. So like, I want to be wrong.
I do too.
But
we live in hope. With that, I'm out, because Zero is now, I wouldn't say wrestling as much as hurting Beethoven.
I need you to, I'm going to take a picture of how Penny has descended into absolute peace and tranquility. So
that's not happening here. So.
Not happening. All right. Well, we'll see y'all later. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.